والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأزواجه وذريته وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد فالحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. All praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has guided us, and we would not have been guided had it not been for his guidance. A lot of times people want to ask a person when they learn that they have become a Muslim, how did you become a Muslim? What's your story? And whenever people ask me this, I make it a point to say this verse of the Quran first, which again means Alhamdulillah alladhi hadana li hada. All praises to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who guided us. وَمَا كُنَّا لِنَهْتَدِيَ لَوْلَا أَنْ هَدَانَ اللَّهِ. And we would not have been guided had it not been for Allah. We all have unique circumstances. We all have very unique experiences. But at the end of the day, it's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from His grace that can guide somebody. And it's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from His infinite kindness that a person can say His name, that a person will be able to do any type of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I know this goes into like some other longer conversation about qadr and free will and volition. We're not talking about that right now. We're talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being al-hadi. Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. And some commentators, they mention يعني الهادي من فيهما, the one who guides all that are in the heavens and the earth, because it's through light that we're guided. And it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who guides us. And although we all have very unique circumstances, we also have a lot of similar experiences. And if you ask anyone who has come to Islam, you'll find that there are oftentimes people in their life that were similar in their situation to that person. Maybe a friend that they were also learning with. But they became a Muslim and someone else didn't. This is a clear sign about how Allah is the one who guides. That's even the case in my own example, group of us learning. Some of us became Muslim and some didn't. You'll see even in a Muslim family, simply being born into Islam doesn't mean that you're guided. You'll see even in one family, someone will go out. You're not guaranteed. Muslim parents, Muslim grandparents, Muslim ancestors. But there can be someone who leaves the deen, even amongst, it's a doctor's writing. Basically the bedding downstairs, then you're going to move it. Should I just announce it? Oh, yes. Whoever has bedding downstairs, you have to move it. Whoever has any bedding downstairs, if you so that they can set it for breakfast, inshallah. Anyone has any bedding, don't be embarrassed. We all leave our bedding out sometimes. Most of us don't fix our bed when we wake up anyway. Jazakallah khair. So then this is a reminder. It's a reminder for all of us that guidance is not guaranteed. Taqarubu also, everyone come closer. Allah, you better feel. Everyone come closer, inshallah, as much as possible. Those who are staying in the majlis. It's from the adab of the majlis also that we try to come close. A lot of what we do, we take an example from the prayer. When we pray, we're not spread out throughout the masjid. We come close and we stand shoulder to shoulder. We fill the first row before we fill the second row. All of that is an example of how we should try to be outside of the prayer also. And there's a hadith which is mentioned that when a group of, when there's a jama'ah of Muslims praying, Allah Ta'ala's rahmah, it descends first down upon the imam. And then the person standing immediately behind him. And then to the person to the right of that person, to the person to the left of that person, until the mercy descends to the whole first row, and then to the person in the middle of the second row. And then it carries on to the people in the third and fourth, all the way to the back of the gathering. We take also some type of an example from that of how we should be in a gathering too. Whoever happens to be speaking, then we should try to be close to them. And perhaps Allah's mercy, we know it comes down in these gatherings. Allah's rahmah descends, and the malaika descend, His sakina descends. All of these things come down in these gathering, and what makes it unique is Allah's remembrance. So the source of Allah's remembrance is where we want to be close to. So this is from the adab of the gathering that we should always remember. We shouldn't be far, we should try to come close, and Allah Ta'ala will bring you close to His mercy. So this guidance we have to remember is from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And this is one of the reasons why Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has made the prayer for guidance obligatory. It's a prayer that we have to make every single day, in every single prayer, in every single rak'ah of every single prayer. So if you think about the du'as that Allah Ta'ala has obligated for us to make, He has made the du'a of Hidayah obligatory. It's wajib, it's mandatory. You have to make this. Your prayer won't be sound if you don't make this du'a. And what is that du'a? Ihdina siratal mustaqim. To guide us to the straight path. That is a du'a. When we say ihdi, we're asking for Hidayah. We're asking for guidance. So this is the importance of guidance. And then guidance is something which, that if you have it, if you can look and examine and take account of yourself and your life, and you happen to be in a state of obedience, and alhamdulillah, even us now in this state, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for being here. We thank Allah ta'ala for being able to be in a good state. We ask Allah ta'ala to give us death like this, on a micro level, on a smaller scale like this, but even throughout our life, throughout our day, what will we do when we leave from here? What will we do tomorrow? What will we be doing next week? We try to stay focused in appreciating whatever Allah Ta'ala has given us. That if we're in a state of guidance, we know that it can flip. And we know that it can turn. We've heard so much from our ulama and our teachers and our mashallah shuyukh about stories that they experience of people being raised in very good environments. But then they one day get caught up in other environments, and then they get influenced by other influences. Have all types of influencers now, but we don't have the influencer who's going to make sure that they're reminding us about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our deen. So those things can change, those things can go away, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after that guidance that He keeps us guided. Because even when a person goes into paradise, some of the commentators, they mentioned that when they go into paradise, what they are going to recite is this verse, Alhamdulillah alladhi hadana lihada. They're not going to throw a celebration and start celebrating for themselves. I'm so happy I decided to become a Muslim. Oh man, it was a good thing that I made my salah. I'm so happy that I chose to do good deeds. They won't be saying this. On the Day of Judgment, when they see paradise, the first thing they're going to do is not thank themselves. They're not going to even thank their mother. People give, you know, some celebratory speeches. I want to thank my mom. And you know, this is good. Thank your mother. Thank your parents. After Allah, when you go to paradise, you're going to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This verse will come. All praise is due to Allah who guided me. We don't know how to make it to paradise. We heard the verses today. وَتَرَى الْمَلَائِكَةَ حَافِينَ مِنْ حَوْلِ الْعَرْشِ. You're going to see the angels making tawaf, going around the arsh of Allah. You're going to see the angels going around the arsh of Allah, praising and glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do we get to the arsh of Allah? What are the directions to get there? What is the GPS that you could put in that will help us make it there? We have no clue how to make it to paradise. We have no clue how to make it to the throne of Allah. That's going to be an amazing light show. You're going to see the angels who are made from light. You're going to see the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is jismun nuraniyun azimun. It's a massive body of light. It's the most massive of Allah's creation. As we hear, wasi'a kursiyuhu samawati wal ard, that the kursi of Allah, the divine seat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, encompasses the entirety of the heavens and the earth. And we know that the earth is like, the whole universe is like a ring in a desert to the first sky. We hear this all the time, mashallah. Second sky is like a ring in the desert to the third sky, and to the fourth, to the fifth. Sixth sky is like a ring in the desert compared to the seventh. What are we even talking about at this point? It's not even something that you can calculate. It's not something that you can comprehend. Because when you even think about just the universe, and they do these different things when they have like a satellite, and they take images and they back out from the Earth and from the universe and from the solar system and then into the galaxy and then into the universe. How small are we? And that's nothing compared to the first guy. You're talking about different dimensions now. All these people, they like to get fancy and they like to talk about perhaps a fourth dimension. That we might be bound by a fourth dimension, and that's why this whole universe seems infinite. It's one of the most baffling questions even today in science, that people don't know, is the universe infinite or not? Is there some limit? If you reach the end of the universe, would there like be some end there? Would there be an end? Would you get to the end of it and then there's no more space? They don't know this. They say, well, the universe is expanding. It's expanding. What is it expanding into? If it's expanding, what is it expanding into? This is actually irrational to start thinking some of these things that, okay, it must be infinite. It's expanding into nothingness, and nothingness becomes something. This is their way of saying that they believe in a God, because they can't explain these things. All of these things are still just the first sky. We don't even know how vast these things are. You're talking about perhaps other dimensions that we're bound by, that we can't grasp. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's greatness. All of that is now encompassed by His kursi. And then the arsh encompasses the kursi. Allah ta'ala mentions that you're going to see the angels going around His arsh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also increase the person's abilities in the hereafter. Your sense, perception will become increased. Your ability to see, your ability to hear, they won't be like our ability to see and hear now. You'll be able to see things that that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you ability to see with perfect detail, and you can see what you want to see. You can hear things. You can be in multiple places, more than one place at one time. People wonder how that can happen. The laws of physics, they don't apply anymore once you make it to the hereafter. If you make it to paradise, then those things won't apply anymore. So in paradise, if you want to be with your best friend, or you want to be, let's say, with your wife, or you want to be with the Hurain. But what if your mother wants to hang out with you? Everyone knows that their mother loves you. Your mom wants to hang out with their son. And they want you to be a little baby. So are you going to be stuck in paradise as like a 3-year-old so that you can be with your mom? Your mother will experience you in real time. You will experience your mother in real time. And you will also experience whatever it is that you want. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتِهِ أَنفُسُكُمْ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدْعُونَ You will have whatever it is that you want. And you'll be able to experience all of these things simultaneously. That's why one of the things that happens when you're in paradise, it almost becomes like you become godly. Allah gives you qualities like a god. You can create things. You will simply want something to be and it will become. You won't have to go through effort in order to produce it. And that's why the condition for going into paradise is what? La ilaha illallah. If you don't already believe that there's one Allah, you'll go into Jannah and you'll start worshiping yourself. You'll think you are God. You cannot then worship other people. You think you're God in this world, or you think you're a God, something else is God in this world. What will happen when you see people of paradise? You'll think that it's like Greek mythology in real life. Everyone is a God. So the one condition that you have in order to have salvation, the one thing you must believe if you want to make it to paradise, is you have to believe in La ilaha illallah. Then when a person has this certainty in their heart that there's only one Allah, Allah can give them anything that He wants and give them the ability to do whatever He wants. And they'll know that this is from Allah. That I am not Allah, this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is hidayah. This is the guidance that we seek. So we acknowledge that guidance also is fluid. Guidance is not, okay, alhamdulillah, I'm guided and it's over. That happens in paradise. That final statement of alhamdulillah alladhi hadana li hadha وَمَا كُنَّا لِنَهْتَدِيَ لَوْلَا أَنْ هَدَانَ اللَّهُ. The final statement of that is in paradise. When you finally can acknowledge that Allah has guided us and it was from His grace that He guided us. And had we not been guided by Him, we would not be guided at all. That can happen only then. Otherwise, until then, it's fluid. We acknowledge this. We acknowledge that Allah Ta'ala has given us a state of iman. He has given us a state of faith. But we have to die with this. Because true guidance is that you come to the truth and you die in the truth. That's why in the famous verse also, when Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala mentions, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا. That indeed those who say that our Lord is Allah, رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ, they have iman, they believe. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا, and then they're steadfast. And then they have istiqama. What is istiqama? Istiqama, steadfastness, is that you die on faith. That's the meaning in this verse. That you die with the faith. That's why Sayyidina Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah, whenever he would recite this verse, he would say, Allahumma anta rabbuna farzuqna al-istiqama. Say, oh Allah, you are our Lord. Meaning he would fulfill the first half immediately. And then he would say, now grant us istiqama. Now give us steadfastness. Because this is what we don't control. And this is the situation of the servant of Allah between Allah's qadr and his free will. That whatever you have that you can acknowledge and see that is from Allah, this is Allah's will. You can't change that. Now everything else that you don't control, you ask Allah Ta'ala to help you on that. That, oh Allah, you are our Lord, now grant us istiqama. Give us death on that faith. Let us die saying this. Let us die saying your name. Because من كان آخر كلامه لا إله إلا الله دخل الجنة. Whosever final words are لا إله إلا الله, this person will enter into Jannah. And there's a virtue, of course, there's a virtue in saying it actually. These being the last words, as the Prophet ﷺ mentions. But ultimately, what do we need? Is we need death with that in our heart. That if this is your state, if this is your seal when we die, and we have la ilaha illallah in our heart, then we'll be a person of paradise. But until that happens, we have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us istiqamah, to give us steadfastness. And this is also contained in the dua of guidance that we make in Fatiha. Ihdina, give us hidayah, as-sirat al-mustaqim. What is mustaqim? All you Arabic students and ulama here, mashallah. Mustaqim is from istiqamah. It's the ism fa'il of istiqamah. So what you're really asking dua for when you make dua for guidance in Fatiha, guide us to the straight path, make say, oh Allah, guide us to istiqamah. Give us istiqamah. Give us the guidance and give us istiqamah. Because the most steadfast thing is a straight line. The most steadfast thing is a straight line. It doesn't waver. So the straight path is the same word that you have for steadfastness. This is the dua that we make. And Sayyidina Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah, he used to make that dua. Now, if a person then dies, it's not just that you believe, it's not just that you say Allah is our Lord, it's not just that you now have this faith, but then you're steadfast and you die with that faith. Then, تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا. Then at that time, at the time of your death, the angels will descend upon you. And they will tell you, أَلَّا تَخَافُوا, don't have any fear, وَلَا تَحَزَنُوا, and don't have any worries. وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُعَدُونَ. And now have glad tidings of the paradise which you've been promised. This is will come at the time of the death for the believer. The angels will come to take your soul. And when the angel of death comes, as I commonly share, he doesn't come alone. The angel of death comes with an entourage. You'll have the malaikatul rahma and the malaikatul adab. So when the angels come, if it's a person who is a believer, that angel of death will come with the angels of rahmah, the angels of mercy, to come and take that person's soul. And then they will start cheering on this person. It'll be like a parade to come and take his soul. It'll be a celebration at the time of that person's death. And that's why at the time of death, when the veil is lifted, at that time, the believer will know if he wants to meet his Lord or not. And من أحب لقاء الله أحب الله لقاءه. And whoever loves to meet Allah, Allah will love to meet him. We know this hadith. that this is referring to the time of your death. At the time of a person's death, they will know whether or not they want to meet their Lord and whether or not they love to meet their Lord, because they're going to see these angels coming. The angels of mercy will come to take their soul. Whereas for the disbeliever and the person of corruption, then it'll be the mala'ikat al-adhab, the angels of torment. And it will be the most terrifying sight. And at that point, they will not go to. They will not wish to meet their Lord. They will now dread to have to meet their Lord. They will dread now to have to make that transition. And when kariha lika Allahi, kariha Allahu lika. And whoever dislikes to meet their Lord, then Allah Ta'ala will dislike to meet them. So this also happens at the time of death, after a person then has that istiqamah. They say, "My Lord is Allah," and then they are steadfast and they die with that. This is what we're trying to acquire. This is why we come to these different events. This is why we come to these programs to try to learn. In this particular instance, we're trying to learn how to have a solid foundation in our home. We're trying to learn how we can have tranquility in our families, how we can have a happy married life, how we can find pious and righteous spouses. We have to remember that everything must be rooted in our faith. Everything must be rooted and based on our deen, even our decisions that we make when it comes to marriage. Because the problem a lot of times now with people is we feel like we have a lot of entitlement. We feel like we deserve certain things that we maybe don't even actually deserve. What do we actually deserve? We make decisions like consumers. In everything now, we're so engulfed in this consumerist type of society that it trickles even into how we choose a spouse. We're so used to looking for something that we need to acquire and purchase and sifting through dozens of reviews, finding out what's wrong with something until finally settling for what it is that we want, exactly how we want it. And if it turns out being not how we want it, we put some type of negative review. We put some type of negative response. We complain about it. We return it. We try to exchange it. This trickles now even into our thinking as Muslims. So when it comes to finding a spouse, we treat it like how we shop. You're not always going to find everything that it is that you want. Traditionally, people were a lot more simple than we are. If they even got married and someone in the village wanted them, they were happy. They were ecstatic. They were able to find someone. Allah blessed them with someone, to have someone. And they were thrilled that they had now were able to find their place in life, in society, and settle down and have someone to start a family with. And they were grateful for that. They appreciated their spouse for that. Nowadays, we feel like the person that we marry we have a long list of how they need to be. Did we ever stop to think, if I was the commodity, would I actually be the one rejected? What is it in my own life that's so amazing that would make this person happy? So then, it trickles into even how we are in our marriages. That leads to a lot of discontent also. One important aspect when it comes to married life is to love the one who Allah blessed you with. Now, once that decision is made, I'm not saying that you throw away like things that you look for. But once you get married, at that point you have a commitment. You have a commitment to do the best that you can to make that work. It's not that, okay, now something goes wrong and khalas, I don't want to be in this marriage anymore. Something goes wrong and like with an item that you purchase and you want to return it. You want to buy something else now. We can't have that mentality. This is what I mean when it says we've been influenced even by this culture of ours of constantly being able to get new things and change things out when something becomes old or broken or we no longer like it or it's no longer like up to date. Something when it comes to the family, like your own children, for example, you don't exchange your children. We have to take even a mentality like this when it comes to our families and to our wives. Appreciate who your wife is. Once you find that person, then you have to do everything within your power to make that work. Again, this is how it used to be when people were a lot more simple and they weren't able to just switch things out so easily. So when it comes to these type of things, we have to remember that there is a process. You should, the thing that you do need to focus on before making that decision is the deen of a person. In the same way that we have to also work throughout our life to also build our own deen up, to adopt these things into our own life. This needs to be the priority. Everything else is detail. So there are a number of other things which are a criteria. We may have a chance to go over it during the rest of the program. We have all the rest of the day tomorrow, and there'll be other sessions for the rest of the day today and then also tomorrow to cover some of these things. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to understand. May Allah ta'ala keep us in a state of guidance. May Allah ta'ala guide us and keep us in a state of guidance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us get into the environments where we can be guided. May Allah ta'ala keep us connected with people who can always teach us our deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a good seal and a husnul khatima. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us istiqama and steadfastness until the day that we die. Allahumma anta rabbuna farzuqana al-istiqama wa sallallahu ala nabi al-ummi wa baraka wa sallam bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Amin ya rabbal alamin.
So inshallah, it's breakfast. We're just waiting for the announcement for announcer breakfast ready. You can do some Q&A. Inshallah, come on, Musa. Tell them.
No Slido needed.
Yeah, we don't use Slido. So just live questions. Anyone have this one? Yeah, it's good.
Alaykum salam. So the question is regarding istiqama. I know there's certain, he mentioned there are du'as for istiqama, but what are some practical steps towards being steadfast and having istiqama? The one thing that comes, the first thing that comes to mind is trying to find like-minded people who are also trying to do what it is that you're doing. And this is a very important principle that Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran, actually, that, O you who believe, kunu ma'a sadiqin, fear Allah and be with the people of truthfulness and piety. Right? So then whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you something in the Quran or addresses the believers and tells you to have taqwa, ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha, O you who believe, have taqwa, then if we pay attention, whatever he tells us after that is how you acquire taqwa. There's all instructions of how to then be a person of taqwa. Because he's telling us have taqwa, he doesn't leave us hanging to dry. Then he gives us some advice of how to acquire it. وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ, and be with the righteous. So to have steadfastness, it's hard to do things alone. It's hard to do things alone. You will feel motivated for some time, and then it's very easy to burn out. So if there's certain things that you're trying to accomplish, see if there's other people who are trying to do it and say, let's try to do this. Let's read this book together. Let's go to the masjid. Pick me up and I'll pick you up. We can carpool. Whatever it is, that's one thing that comes into mind, is trying to find people who are like-minded in those goals. Right, so mashallah, the question is regarding that I had mentioned that you should try to marry a girl based on her deen, but how are you supposed to know the quality of her deen if you don't know her? Or what if the family is, you know, not completely open with who their daughter is? So these are now the processes of how you try to find out who is religious and their deen. You have to do your best to inquire from people that may know the family also. Because of course, if you just speak to the parents, then you may not be able to have a good idea from that. You do have to try to reach out to other layers of people who may know that family. One of the things I normally also try to encourage people to do when they're trying to find a spouse is to also try to meet the friends of that person. So if you're trying to now meet a girl, do you know if she has friends? I don't think it's so... at least not in most cases, it's not so isolated that you can't find anything about a person anymore. Or your parents aren't necessarily just coming home with, you know, a bride, and you know you're going to marry this person now. So you have to do your due diligence as much as possible, finding out about the person, looking at their family also, and the quality of the practice of the family. Look at what they are doing with their life, and then also trying to meet friends of that person or know who they are. And then obviously you can't interact with her or her friends. If you have a sister or you have a female relative, ask them to actually hang out with them and go to a dinner with them to meet her, to get to know her. And then don't look at how she acts, because she's going to be on her best behavior when she's with your sister or when she's with your relative. Look at how her friends act with her. And this will also tell you, give you kind of a glimpse into how she probably is also. Allahu anam. Yeah. Yeah, sure. Breakfast? Okay. Yeah. Did you want to add to that first?
No.
Okay. Alhamdulillah, the breakfast is here. Ja'a ta'am sakat al-kalam. When the food comes, then the talking stops, mashallah. Zakallah khair. SubhanAllah.